rock it like a boogie woogie choo choo train. Welcome to Rockin' Around the Track for March 2008. This time we're going to do side one, Glenn Campbell, and side two, Kenny Rogers. Now I should say, and friends on both of those. There is an interview from Emery's Memories on each of the artists I mentioned. And we're going to follow that by duet songs with Glenn Campbell. You'll hear some songs from his duet album with Bobby Gentry and his duet album with Ann Murray. I'm also going to put on first the two Glenn Campbell songs that he talks about extensively on the interview. And one of those is a country song, but it is a duet. He's with Steve Warner. But I want to put it on since it is discussed heavily on the interview. This interview with Glenn was done in about 1987 or 88. He had restructured his life after his disastrous marriage to Tanya Tucker, which of course was preceded by another longtime marriage. Kenny Rogers, of course, since this interview was done around, around 1980, something like that. The Gambler, Ralph asks him if he's a gambler, so I'm sure it had to be close to that time. I'm going to put in some songs with Dottie West, who is a country artist, but they were almost crossover songs, could have been crossover songs had they chosen to use them that way. He had a duet with Sheena Easton, and he had some with Kim Carnes, and I'll feature some of those to follow the Kenny Rogers interview. He also divorced Marianne, a longtime marriage partner, and remarried and has a couple of twins, I think boy twins, with his new wife. Kenny talked about his photography hobby on side two, and one of his dreams was to do a book of photographs that he had processed and taken. He did that. One of his ideas was to do Faith Hill in a bubble bath. She consented to it, and it's in his photography book. I'll probably also play at least one song with the first edition. All you'll hear from me is right here on side one, and that is to save time so that you can get more music. And you know that you can call 773-572-7744 and leave a message or a request or a change of address, or you can respond when you return this tape at the first of the tape with the same information. Take care. Have a wonderful spring. We'll see you in June.
I'm visiting with Glenn Campbell. Glenn, who is singing a song that I've heard so many times on the radio, a top 10 song, The Hand That Rocks the Cradle. I love that. Tell me the story of that song, Glenn.
I first did that. Norrell Wilson had cut a track when Charlie Pride was with RCA. And I first heard it. Charlie sang it at a golf dinner at the Joe Garagiola Tucson Open. And naturally, he had all the football players there. And he did Hall of Fame. We started it four or five times because it was new then, and he didn't know the lyrics. But anyway, I kept thinking that Charlie was going to release it and come out with it. So I said, and when I was doing this album, I said, that's the spot to do it because I wanted to do it for my mom. It was written by Ted Harris, and it's probably one of the favorite things that I've done. It is.
Now, how did Steve Warner get involved?
Oh, I asked Steve to sing it with me because I didn't want to overdub the high harmony. No, it's actually a duet with Steve and I. A lot of people didn't know that at first, but it's a duet with Steve Warner and Glenn Campbell. And I thank Steve, and I wanted somebody on the label to sing with me, and on MCA. And so I think Steve Warner is probably as good an artist, good a singer, good a guitar player as I know in the music business, period.
He obviously, from what was said earlier tonight, has been a Glenn Campbell fan for a long time.
Yeah, he used to sit there in front of the TV and watch the Good Time Hour. And he said he especially liked, like, when it would be signing off, you know, they'd roll the credits. Well, I'd just sit out and play guitar. And in the middle part where we did back in the audience, you know, just like with a small band and with Jerry Reed and Larry McNeely and whoever the guest star was that week, I remember guys like Seals and Crofts or Waylon Jennings or Willie Nelson, something like that, we'd sit down and do something. And Steve commented about that the first time I met him. He said he sat there and he said he actually learned by watching that show. I said, You got the talent, kid. You didn't have to sit and learn anything.
You know, as you listen to the record, you have to listen very carefully to pick out Steve's voice and separate it from your voice. They're very much alike.
They are. They really are.
Where'd you first meet Steve?
You know, I think it was in Phoenix. No, it wasn't in Phoenix either. It was here on one of the shows, probably 7 years ago. It was before Kansas City Lights. How long has that been?
I don't know. Probably 1980, 81.
Yeah.
You have an affinity for people that sing and play guitar, don't you? Like Steve and Jerry Reed.
Yeah. Chet Atkins.
Chet, one of your favorite singers?
Oh, yeah, he is. You ever hear Chet sing?
Yes, I have. You know the record that Ray Stevens produced, Frog Kissing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I used to hear Chet over at RCA singing with when the artist would be preparing to record, he'd be going over the new tune with whoever he was working with and singing there in the studio.
Oh, Chet's awesome talent. He really is. Merle Travis. I was a big fan of Merle.
Glenn, let's talk about the Good Time Hour. I realize it's been about 19 years, but you must have a lot of nice memories of the Glenn Campbell Good Time Hour.
I really do, Ralph. I got... In fact, I got about 124 of them, about 124 shows that I own the shows, and I've never shown them. I've never reran them any since we left the Good Time Hour, since, you know, it went off the air. And they were just, you know, everybody was on the show. I could have reruns, you know. Like one week, I remember there was Linda Ronstadt, Neil Diamond, Liberace, you know, Larry Storch, Jerry Reed, Mel Tillis. One of my favorite shows I did. And one of the highest rated shows, you know, after we got into they kept moving us around. We was on Tuesday, we was on Wednesday, they moved us to Sunday. And I was only on, 3.5 years? So I had a different slot every year. But one of my favorite shows was Merle Haggard, Johnny Cash, Buck Owens. It was like an all-country show. Ann Murray was on the show, too, at that time. And I look at that back, and it is fond memories.
Tell me about Mel Tillis.
Oh, Melvin, yes.
Mel had to be very new to a lot of those people.
He was.
Did they understand that he stuttered?
First day he came into rehearsal, he was very, very nervous, and he was afraid he couldn't say anything, so he took... his secretary had given him a Valium. Mel didn't know what a Valium from anything else. He said, this will calm your nerves. So Mel took one of them, you know, and he's afraid he'd be real nervous, so he actually took two. And he got in there, and he was just smooth as glass, Ralph. He didn't hardly stutter at all, and I thought... Well, old Mel's been pulling my leg, you know. Well, I think you told me that. I didn't remember that until you mentioned it tonight about having the professor come out, because I did get letters on the show saying, you know, why do you have somebody with a speech impediment on your show? Well, they said somebody pretending to stutter.
Yeah, did they think he was making fun of people who stuttered?
Yeah, I think they did.
Mel had told me that story, that CBS got a professor from UCLA, a speech therapist, to come over and check him out to see if he did, in fact, stutter.
Yeah, I think he really realized that Mel did actually stutter.
Who were the writers on that show?
Tommy Smothers was the producer for the first 2 years, and he was he's fabulous. He got together Steve Martin, McLean Stevenson, Stiller and Mira, Jack Burns, Avery Shriver, Mason Williams wrote, Pat Paulson wrote, Alan Thicke wrote. It was just a great bunch of guys.
So you had an all-star lineup backstage.
Definitely did. I think that's what made the show. It was number one from inception, because every week people would tune in to see. It was just such a mixture. It was really a true variety show with the sketches, with country artists, with rock and roll artists, and with pop artists.
How long did it take you to do it?
We did actually about 4 days.
You had to do it each week?
Yeah, every week.
So what did you do? Do personal appearances on weekends?
Yeah, I did. And that... I look back now, if I did a TV show, I'd do like Dolly. I wouldn't do other things while I was doing the TV show, because that does consume all your time.
Glenn, tell me about your family. Where do you live? That sort of thing.
I finally made it to Phoenix, Ralph, after 20 years. That's amazing. By the time I get to Phoenix, came out in the spring of... it came out in the fall of 67. Gentle on My Mind came out in the spring of 67. I was a mere child when I recorded that.
The first time Gentle on My Mind was released, it was not a hit, if I remember correctly.
It was John Hartford, who was also on the Good Time Hour as a writer and did the banjo part on the summer show and the first first half of the second show. For some reason, he just wanted to write, and he didn't want to do that other thing anymore. He wanted to pilot a
riverboat. You're right.
But I live in Phoenix, Arizona. I moved there September 18th, 1981. I remarried. I got 3 kids, and they're 4.5, 2.5, and 9 months. 2 boys and a girl, and they're marvelous.
You've started over, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. I think the good Lord gave me a second chance, Ralph.
What's your wife's name?
Kim.
Do you live in Scottsdale?
No, I live in Phoenix. You know, I think it would be You know, people would say, you know, why didn't you move to Phoenix, you know? It made you a star, so to speak. I live 4 blocks from the Scottsdale line.
I know about where you, over near the Camelback Inn.
That's right. It's not too far. It's right across the Camelback Mountain from Camelback Inn.
Why did you choose to move to Phoenix? You'd lived in California for a long time.
It got a little busy for me, I think, and a little crowded. And Phoenix is like, it's a great hub to live. You can get anywhere from there, and especially you can get a lot quicker to the East Coast, about an hour. But I just wanted to move someplace where it was a little cleaner and a little less crowded, and where you could see the sunshine more.
Are any of your children named after you?
Travis, my 21-year-old son, he's going to college now. Thank the Lord. They really won a big award. I went up to see him over like a little vacation period they had, and they won. Fraternity won power. What do they call it? Power relaxing. I think where you just lay down and do nothing. So
his love
group
that.
Was real
what do you
big.
Mean
in
they
that.
Won that.
They won it. The power lounging, as it was called. And they won lounging around better than any other fraternity in the
what's
school.
What's he going to do with his life?
He's majoring in French and what do you call it? Like public.
Public
working, yeah.
Public speaking?
Public
speech?
Be an interpreter or something like that.
Oh, okay.
He's like his daddy. I think he's a little immune to manual labor.
Glenn Travis Campbell, mm-hmm. right? That's your name. Mm-hmm. Is he Glenn Travis?
No, his name is William Travis. He's named after his grandpa, Nunley.
I don't see you around this town very often. Do you record here?
Yes, I do. I cut the new album is done at Soundstage with Jimmy Bowen, and I produced it, and it's on 30. We recorded 32-track digital, mixed it down to 2-track digital, and it's on compact disc. And there's not a generation loss. I think it's the best sounding record I've ever cut, Ralph, with the new technology.
You also did a song that's a particular favorite of mine. I remember you.
Thank you.
I love that song.
I do too.
You did a song called Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the one the Wilburn Brothers used to sing?
No, this is
another one.
Yeah, this is a new one that a friend of mine wrote for me because I was homesick, and for some reason, you know, it's just like, ooh, Arkansas, you know I'm not the only one. It's a song about being homesick, actually. You could pick any state in the union and it'd probably work with it.
Didn't you record, when you were at Capitol, a song about Arkansas?
Yeah. Ooh, Arkansas, what is it? Land of Opportunity, Arkansas. It was written by Mitchell Torok. That wrote Mexican Joe.
Yes. Your mama still live in Arkansas?
Yes, she does. She lives right down there in Billstown.
Miss Carrie...
Carrie Dell.
What was her reaction to The Hand That Rocks the Cradle?
She loved it. And I told my brothers and sisters when I was down there in April, and I said, you want to cry? And I put on The Hand That Rocks the Cradle. They all cried right on cue when it come in. There ought to be a Hall of Fame for mamas because she raised 12 kids. Oh, I'm one of 8 boys and 4 girls. No electricity, no indoor plumbing. Did the washing on a scrub board and boil them in an old black iron pot and breastfed all of them. I think that was probably the best thing about it because, you know, when you breastfeed, the kids goes with you everywhere, and Mama went to church every Sunday, so it got us all interested in the singing. Either that or you didn't eat on Sunday.
Are the Campbells a musical family?
Yeah, they are. They all play and sing, Ralph.
Now, you may remember a show we did in Little Rock one time called An Arkansas Homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I was there, because I was the only person on the show not from Arkansas. But I noticed I met a lot of your brothers, mm-hmm. and you guys really look a lot alike.
Yeah, we do.
What's that old song, The Campbells Are Coming, The Campbells Are Coming?
Right.
Well, they were coming out of the woodwork that day. Do you go back? Now, you said Billstown. Most people equate you with
Delight.
And I assume they're just right together.
Yeah, Billstown's a suburb of Delight on the way to Murfreesboro on the Billstown Highway, we called it. They finally got the road paved, which I was very thankful for.
Do you go back to Billstown or to Delight?
Yeah, I go back to visit Mom, stay with her. Either that or stay with Shorty across the street. If there's a bunch of us there, you know, when we all get together. Mom and Dad and the immediate family. Mom has about 125 grandkids, great-grandkids, great-great-grandkids. Because I guess we took after Dad and her in that respect.
Yeah, and I imagine Mother's Day around that house is a real celebration.
There really ought to be a Hall of Fame for Mama's Ralph.
I think you're right. What's the line that just bothers me about, the line about the Bible?
Oh, and by the time she wore the cover off her Bible, her hair was gray and her little man was grown.
Yeah, that bothers me a lot. My little men are grown now, and when I hear that song, it gets to me. I'm visiting with Glenn Campbell, fellow that, when I first met him, was one of the leading sidemen in California, and overnight became a major star. By the time I get to Phoenix, then you evolved into the Glenn Campbell Good Time Hour, mm-hmm. and the rest, as they say, is history. With Wichita, Lyman, Galveston, and all those songs. You still sing those songs?
Oh, yeah. It's like I'm at a point now to where I want to sing things on stage that I like to sing. And if you're going to be on stage singing something, I asked Willie Nelson when I recorded Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain. It's one of my favorite questions to Willie, because I knew it. and songs like I Remember You off of the album, One Woman Man off of the album, the old Johnny Horton, Frank Tillman song, those are songs that I knew that I've known all my life. And I don't have to think when I sing them. I don't have to think of the words, and that's the way it is with Phoenix. I learned a new song now, and in fact, on your show, I wasn't too sure of it because it's new to me. So I had to put the cue cards up so I would do still within the sound of my voice right, because it's a new Jimmy Webb song. I did it in Indianapolis for the cable networks up there that was put on by Showtime last night for the first time on stage, and I got all the words right on it. I was very proud of myself.
That's your new record you're talking about.
Yeah.
You've had an illustrious career. You've met presidents, and you've known movie stars. You got to be in a movie with John Wayne. Is there a particular part of your life you would pick out as one of your biggest thrills or a moment that is indelible?
Oh, you know, that first day of filming on True Grit, riding along on a horse beside John Wayne, I thought I was dreaming, Ralph. You know, it was like, I thought it was, and now, in retrospect, it's like it was a dream to me. It really was.
Did John Wayne intimidate you?
Oh, well, it wasn't really intimidating. I think somebody had to play that part. Somebody had to be LaBeef, as they call it. And the director got what he wanted out of the film because it served the purpose. I made John Wayne look so good in True Grit that he won his only Oscar.
That's right, he did. That's where he wore the patch over his eyes.
Yeah. Oh, John Wayne was just like he was on the screen. And he was a great human being. He was a great American. You know, there's pros and cons about it. But you were saying that I have done all of this. Phil Driscoll. You know Phil? Gospel. Great trumpet player. He wrote me a song that I'm going to do on the next album. I'm going to record it, whether it gets on the album or not. And may be on a gospel label. But he wrote a song called Jesus and Me for Glenn Campbell. And nobody else can sing the song because it's a... I have played for kings and queens all over the world, and I have romanced millions with my guitar. From Taj Mahal to Paris, from Galveston to Hollywood, I thought I had done it all, and then I met you. And now I'm singing a new song, making music for Jesus my King. He is my hero. He's become my everything. And there's no other song, no higher melody. Under heaven, the greatest love story is Jesus and me.
That's beautiful.
Isn't that? Phil is a great talent.
You did a song I liked at Capitol. I knew Jesus
before he was a star. Yeah.
Was that a Jimmy Webb song?
No, that was you believe it or not, David Page, the group Toto. David and Marty, his dad, wrote that.
How many songs of Jimmy Webb's did you do?
Boy, I really don't know, Ralph. I've done just about everything except Up, Up, and Away and Rosecrans Boulevard and two on the new album. I'll Still Love You, For Sure, For Certain, Forever and Always on this album, and Still Within the Sound of My Voice is the title song Jimmy wrote, and you heard it tonight. It's really, his chord progressions are second to nobody's I've ever heard. To me, he's the best musical poet, I think, that God has blessed in that area.
When he wrote Wichita Lyman, he had worked for the Washita phone company, hadn't he?
Yes, he had. And he saw a guy out on the line and out there just on a pole in the middle of nowhere. And he actually wrote it from a standpoint of what he thought the guy might be thinking. And Jimmy, I did old Galveston, Honey Come Back, I Just Can't Stand. I think that's a great song. By the time I get to Phoenix, Wichita Lineman. Where's the Playground, Susie?
Who's your favorite singer?
Oh, you know, Ray Charles is the first name that pops into mind. Barbara Streisand. I sure do like Steve Warner. I think he's just a marvelous talent. I have a bunch of favorite singers.
Glenn, thank you. I appreciate you dropping by.
Thank you, Ralph. It's my pleasure.
He got here red and wrinkled, scared and crying. Then she took him up and held him to her breast. And he sure was glad to get what Mama offered. Then he went to sleep and put his fears to rest. It didn't seem to matter what he needed. He could always count on Mama to supply. And regardless of the sleep she might be losing, he always found a twinkle in her eye. There ought to be a hall of fame for Mama, creation's most unique and precious pearl. And heaven help us all. Taught him all the attributes of greatness that she knew he couldn't learn away from home. And by the time she wore the cover off her Bible, her hair was gray and her little man was gone. There ought to be a hall of fame for mamas, creation's most unique and precious pearl. And heaven help us always to remember that the hand that rocks the cradle. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world.
Where have you gone, my darling one? Are you on your own? Are you having fun? Is there someone to hold when you need it bad? Is it uncontrolled like the love we had? Does a day go by like a memory? Do you ever try to remember me in an automobile or a crowded bar? Well, I hope you're all right wherever you are. And if you're still within the sound of my voice over some radio, merely me talking to your heart instead. And if you're still within the sound of my voice, why don't you let me know? I just can't let you go, 'cause it always made me rejoice. Just to have you so near, there's a place for you. Sound of
calling like the echo of a passing train that cries one last time before it fades into the distant hills and dies. I am sending out a message like a ship out on the sea in distress, but only you can send the lifeline out to me. Are you still within the sound of my voice? Why don't train that cries one last time before it fades into the distant hills and dies.
Up in the morning with my hair down in my eyes, and she says hi. And I hurry to the breakfast table while the kids are going off to school. Goodbye. And she reaches out and takes my hand and squeezes it and says, how you feeling, hon? And I look across at smiling lips that warms my heart, and I see my morning sun. And if that's not loving me, then all I've got to say,
God didn't make the little green apples, and it don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime. No such thing as Dr. Seuss, Disneyland, and Mother Goose, no nursery rhyme. God didn't make the little green apples, and it don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime. When myself is feeling low, I think about your face aglow and ease my mind. Sometimes I call him up, knowing he's busy. Ask if he could get away, meet me, maybe grab a bite to eat. And he drops what he's doing and hurries down to meet me, and I'm always late. He sits waiting patiently and smiles when he first sees me, 'cause he's made that way. That's not loving me, then all I've got to say, God didn't make the little green apples, and it don't snow in Minneapolis when the winter comes. There's no such thing as make-believe, puppy dogs and robin leaves, no BB guns. God didn't make the little green apples, and it don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime. And when myself is feeling low, I think about your face aglow and ease my mind.
Let me be a little kinder, let me be a little blinder to the faults those about me, let me praise a little more. Let me be, when I am weary, just a little bit more cheery, think a little more of others and a little less of me. Let me be a little braver when temptation bids me waver. Let me strive a little harder to be all that I should be. Let me be a little meeker with the brother that is weaker. Let me think more of my neighbor and a little less of me. Let me be, when I am weary, just a little bit more cheery. Let me serve a little better those that I am striving for. Let me be a little meeker with the brother that is weaker. Think a little more of others and a little less of me.
By the time I get to Phoenix, she'll be rising.
I say a little prayer for you.
She'll find the note I left hanging on her door
while combing my hair now.
She'll laugh when she reads the part that says I'm leaving.
Cause
I've left that girl so many times before.
Forever.
By the time I make Albuquerque,
you'll stay in my heart and I will love you forever.
She'll probably stop at lunch
and
give me a call.
And how I love you together.
But she'll just hear that phone.
That's how it must be to live without you. Would only
off the wall
mean heartbreak for me.
That's all.
I run for the bus, dear, while riding I think of us, dear.
By the time I make Oklahoma, she'll be sleeping.
I'll say a little prayer for you.
She'll turn softly and call my name out low.
Work, I just take time.
And she'll cry just to think.
And all through my
I believe her.
Time. I say a little
time and time I've tried to
you.
Tell her so. She just didn't know I would really go.
We need more love. I like you, brother, and I like you, mother. I like you, and you like me too.
We'll get a preacher, and we'll buy a ring, and we'll hire a band with an accordion, a violin, and a tenor who can sing.
You and me, 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 babe, you and me, 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 babe.
We'll have a son,
we'll get him a sister.
Can count all the times her daddy's gonna kiss her.
He'll drink his baby brew from a big brass cup.
Someday he may be president if things loosen up.
You and me, 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 babe, you and me, 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 babe.
You'll take the train into the city
every morning. Now you may be plain, but I think you're pretty
in the morning. Some nights we'll go out dancing
if I am not too tired.
Some nights we'll sit romancing,
watching the late show by the fire. When our kids are grown with kids of their own, they'll send us away to a little home in Florida, and we'll play checkers all day until we pass away.